I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission this Tuesday, November 12, 2013, to order and call on our county auditor, Rick Finley, for an opening prayer. Mr. Finley.
Heavenly Father, we want to come before you this morning. We want to thank you for the blessings you've given us. We just praise you that we even have the privilege and the opportunity to serve a great God that we do. Lord, we again realize that we have inadequacies that only can be taken care of by the strength that you can give us, dear Lord. We pray that you do that. We pray, the Lord, for those that we know are hurting, and we hear of the great catastrophe that's happened in the Philippines and that area over there. We lift up those to you, Lord, that you just be in that with those that are trying to serve those that are without there, that whatever they need, that you'd be able to help them. We pray for those that may need your healing hand, dear Lord. Would you just be with them, give them guidance. We lift up our soldiers, dear Lord, and pray again that you'd be with them and their families, especially at this time of year. I know it has to be tough, so we just pray that you'd be with them. We want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us, and we do pray for wisdom and guidance in all that we do. These things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Strahan, if you'll lead us in a Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Jan, if you could sing the national anthem for us. Do we have commission remarks this morning? I would just note that when we're going to have the monthly budget report, that probably would be time for us to chat somewhat about our beginning schedule with Rick. Any commission remarks to open? Mr. Finley, if you could join us for the monthly budget report.
I hope you guys have had a chance to look at that. See if you have any questions. It's the monthly report that I send to you on a monthly basis and try to keep an idea of where we're at as far as the county goes, and it really looks good this month, I think.
I had a question about airport revenues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it defined here. I thought that I did.
Well, the revenues that the airport has are, they come in from fuel sales and then from rentals that they have out there, the hangar rental spaces. They actually have some tie-downs or rentals there. Is that the kind of question you had, or you had something different?
Well, that's part of it. Maybe more of it's directed towards the budgetary. Did you gentlemen have any questions about the monthly budget report? It was submitted to us via email from Mr. Finley. I don't have either, Rick.
Okay.
I did want to chat just for a second while you're up there regarding the budget, the report, and ask if we could begin the formal process of building this budget next Monday, the 18th, at 1 o'clock, if we could put that on our agenda, 1 to 4, 1 to 5.
I actually looked at my calendar before I came in, and I was thinking maybe this Thursday or next Monday, so next Monday would be fantastic.
Well, this Thursday, Commissioner Strahan may not be here. We talked about that in preliminary this morning, that maybe we'll just, because I had that booked for Thursday, but let's start on Monday.
Okay, and if either of you want to visit before that, I mean, I'd be glad to visit with you individually, too.
So. Let me ask you to write down some dates here, if you will.
I can do that.
Or all of you, if you will, and then check with that. If we start on Monday, 1 to 4, I'd also like to do Tuesday, 1 to 4. Wednesday, 9 to 4. Thursday, 9 to 4. Friday, 9 to 4 next week. I could go on in, but let's, we can chat about that the course of this week and try to, I have a full schedule for the rest of the year that I'm asking for, but that would certainly get us started. Also, a couple of things, if you would. As I'm looking at our revenues, not just sales tax revenues, but our overall revenues that we have for the county, I'm thinking that we're going to be close to what 2013 revenues?
I hadn't looked at what 2012, I think you probably mean, but I did look at what we budgeted, and we're going to be over what we budgeted.
I'm talking about 2013, not 2012. Okay. What we anticipate we're going to receive in 2013.
We're going to be more than what we anticipated.
Well, we're losing revenues here and there. For example, $80,000 in the collector's office that is not going to be available, at least according to her projections, and in different places as I go through and look at the individual officer requests. So I see some of the loss compared to what that addition, I'm assuming, of sales tax that you looked at, because we're going to come in hopefully, minimally, a couple hundred thousand ahead of what we budgeted per half cent sales tax?
We've got sales tax for November already. So
yes.
We only have one sales tax coming in, and I would, you never know what that's going to be. You talked about it being up and down, but
if it's down 15 to 20% for that last month, we're going to be up 200,000.
Yeah.
If, in fact, it stays even, then we're going to be up more. Right. That's where we're at. Mm-hmm. And but when I'm looking at some of the other revenue projections that the officers have turned in, a couple of them are slightly more, but some are down. It's going to be close.
Yeah. We'll have to look at those and really the three biggest ones that are really big determining factors are sales tax, the collector's commissions, and the recorder's fees. Those are the three biggest ones.
I think that we also need to budget, which is not in these preliminary figures, unfortunately, monies from FEMA and SEMA.
And it is a wash, but we will have to budget that. It's kind of a pain to have to do that. We was hoping it happened this year, but I'm almost positive you're right. We will have to do that.
So I have, at least on my figures, tentatively sketched that in, unless
I think
something
we'll have,
happens
I, yeah,
between
I'd,
now.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if it happens this year, Ron.
Well, let me ask this question on that. Will there be total payoff on that at one time, or will there be turned in different time frames? Because that was a concern of mine, that we have to budget partial payment on those instead of being able to clean the slate, if you would say, with that project and get those all paid off at the same time. I would almost rather that if they can't get them all paid off, that they wait till after the first of the year and let us budget the whole thing and then pay them off and have it all done. I think it puts a bad taste in the people's mouths that would not get paid.
Danny, I don't know. My understanding from talking to Mr. Atchley is that we can actually, when we have the expense that we need to pay out, that we can actually request the monies from FEMA and CDBG so that we actually should get those monies in before we pay them out. So if he will be on top of that and you guys instruct him, I believe that we can probably make those requests before we ever have the expense.
Yes, but what we have told him is to move forward so that we don't drag our feet. The county, in fact, did budget that, and we can pay it. What they've done on these smaller bills that we've had that have come up, they have paid almost immediately. So they have shown us that, at least according to Bob.
From FEMA, yeah.
Yes.
And you know what? I struggled with Bob when we had that one bill that we did pay because he talked to me 2-3 weeks before we actually paid it. And I said, Bob, can you request this payment now? And he says, yeah, I can. But I think he was waiting for you guys to instruct him to do so. So you need to let him know that he needs to request those as soon as he sees that they're going to have to be paid.
We already have. I mean, okay. We said don't drag your feet on this. We want to make sure that everybody gets paid as quick as the monies get here. My concern, go back to my question, is that's if all the projects aren't finished, which would be a demolition.
I don't see that being finished at all.
Demolition cost, something like that that would hold up a project, or maybe two or three, and everybody else would get paid and they wouldn't get paid or something like that. So, like I said, if he keeps on top of that, maybe we'll end up with...
Either they're gonna move sooner rather than later, and hopefully we can do them all at the same time. Either way, we have money budgeted in this budget, and it'll just be we'll just be moving it from this budget to the 2014 budget. Yes. That's my anticipation.
Yeah, I don't see a problem either way. I do suspect, Danny, that probably the money that comes in to pay out for those people that were actually buying the properties from FEMA and so on, I suspect that will all happen at one time. If that's your concern, I would think it would all happen at one time.
There is a preparation of the ground to be left as, I shouldn't say park, but that's one of the things that the considerations that rode into that they could use the properties for. And some of that may take some time, you know, once they do the demolition. I don't know. So,
and I don't know how it's going to happen either, but it seems to me that the purchase of the property would occur separately from the preparing the property to be the way that FEMA and CDBG wants it to be.
Do either of you have any other questions about the monthly budget report or beginning budget issues? Bless you. We'll schedule then that first formal meeting where we start, and my suggestion is we look at revenues and go through those first.
I think that's a good place to start.
Okay. Thank you. Accounts payable.
Move to approve text numbers 337391 through 337458, warrants 5865, 5870, 5871, 5872, 5873, and 5874.
Second.
Hold on, sorry.
Could I get you to add this check as well?
And then check number 337313 and two transfers.
That's the check number you give there. I'm just working off memory this morning. That's the one we had the question about last
yes.
week. Okay. I second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve checks numbers 337391 through 337458, check number 337313, warrants 5865, 5870, 5871, 5872, 5873, 5874, and two transfers. Journal entry from Parks to R&B and journal entry for paper usage. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Signed that one.
Oh, Randy did that. Thank you. Gentlemen, we have a set of executive session draft minutes.
Motion for, is everybody?
looked at those. Motion for approval of
822, 826, 829, 9, 5, and 9, 9. Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve executive session minutes dated August 22nd, 26th, 29th, and September 5th and September 9th. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. University of Missouri Extension update. Good morning. How are you?
I bring good news. I have been reporting for several months that our staffing plan from the university included a 4-H specialist here in Taney County, and we were just waiting on that to be rolled out throughout the state. And it's been sitting on someone's desk for months now, and I wrote a letter last week as county program director asking for an update and why that's being held up, and I got news yesterday that it is in HR, it is approved, and it will be posted. I looked this morning, last night, and it wasn't there yet, so I anticipate it should be there today. So as I reported a couple months ago, it'll be open for 30 days. You have to have a master's degree to be a specialist with the University of Missouri Extension, so anybody is welcome to, you know, look at the website and apply here in the county. So it's a great opportunity for someone for a new position, as well as a great opportunity for the county to reach some additional citizens with that programming in the schools and with those clubs as well. So that is moving forward finally.
Excellent.
Yeah, very exciting. Also, I'm not sure if everybody was aware, but with the government shutdown, our food and nutrition education associate was not able to program during that time. They get money specifically from the SNAP Ed grant from Health and Human Services, and so that money was halted. All we pay for her as a county is really just to house her for an office. We don't pay travel supplies or anything like that for that. So all that programming comes from that federal grant. So she's back out now and programming. So we're really excited, you know, to get her back in the schools. She has a full calendar every week with the senior center, with schools, with Head Starts, you know, people like that, the food pantries. And so it was hard not being able to do all of that. So she's back and doing all of her programming again. Other than that, we've started two programs from the Skaggs Foundation grant that we received. We have a Matter of Balance class every week now for 10 weeks, and then a Stay Strong, Stay Healthy class. And I believe there are probably a few spaces left for people if they still want to attend. What happens when you give a free class is you have a lot of people sign up, but then the day it starts, several people don't come. And so I think we may still have some open slots. If people want to call our office, they can ask and inquire about that at 417-546-4431 about either one of those classes. They're exercise classes geared toward the senior audience. Stay Strong, Stay Healthy is geared toward stronger seniors, and Matter of Balance is really looking at balance and trying to prevent falls. So it would be someone that's you know, not quite as strong for the Matter of Balance workshops. We are also doing a lot of education on the Affordable Care Act, trying to be that unbiased, non-political third party, you know, providing the research-based education. What does this really mean for individuals and families? And we're also developing a curriculum for the businesses. And so Nellie Lammers, our family financial education specialist, is conducting a lot of workshops over the course of the next few months on, you know, what does the Affordable Care Act mean for individuals and families. So she's got several this month here in Branson. She's got one today and two on November 4th, and then another one in Stone County this week as well, trying to educate people. And then our business workshops will start in January when we get that curriculum through marketing and legal and everybody. So that's another initiative that, our office is working on to kind of, you know, bring education to the citizens so they, that they understand how that impacts them, but not taking any political stance, of course.
Maybe we can get 7 people to sign up nationwide instead of 6.
That would be nice. So,
what was that non-political statement?
That's what they're being.
we are not. So, that's what we have at the University of Missouri. So, maintenance has worked with us. We did get some electrical outlets put in that back office, and I think we've had several people visit about getting something put to support the back room. So I'm sure that they're working on that because we've had people come and visit us and look at it. So I know that there's conversation about that going on. So I think with the time frame that we have, everything should be working out fine right now. So
with this morning, shocker, with the weather, is the insulation factor on that. Well, I wonder if have you had maintenance look at that as far as the heat and everything for that room?
Well, what Renee said they were going to do is put a baseboard heater in that room since there's no vent specifically in that room. And then Linda and I were looking at it the other day, and actually there is a door back there that we never use, but it's there. And there's a peephole in it, and none of us have ever realized, but there's actually a hole in it where the peephole goes. So we're going to, you know, put something in there like Spandifoam. And I think that just in itself is going to help because it's a lot of air that can go through a little hole like that. So something that nobody's ever just looked at, I guess, you know.
Right. Well, I was just wondering if maintenance need to go down and look at the amount of insulation for the floor and everything with it standing up off of the. So anyway, I'm glad to see all the progression of the things that Extension is doing. I think it's great. I made mention of this several times, and every time we come from a commissioner's meeting or a county meeting, we find out the cuts that they're making. Mm-hmm. And so I just think it's great that our group's growing at a rapid pace, and although it's aggravating to try to find the room to put those people, the benefits are so much greater, and I'm happy to see that what you're doing.
We did also get with both 4-H clubs this last month in October. We had our 4-H specialist come down from Lawrence County, since we don't have one yet, and try to start forming a leaders council. When you have one 4-H club, they can you know, do things however they want. Within, of course, you know, the state bylaws. But when you have two clubs, they have to figure out how to work together when you do county activities. And shooting sports is an example of that. It's a county project that both clubs can participate in. And so there have to be rules about how they're both going to work together, about participation and, you know, all kinds of things, funding. And so we did meet last month to try to start forming some bylaws and how are we going to come together, what's that going to look like, you know, how are we going to make decisions and those kinds of things. So we wanted to get that underway before someone came in to the office as a 4-H specialist so that the groundwork, the foundation would already be laid, and then they could, you know, just take steps to implement that and help grow both of those clubs. So we've started forming the leaders council, and I think that will be beneficial in helping both clubs move forward and work together to do some more county events instead of just individual, you know, club projects. So,
did you want to mention, as of yet, are you waiting until next month on the election process?
Oh yes, thank you. We are. Every year we have a new election for our county council members. The county council members really help decide what types of programming Taney County needs from Extension, and then we look at, you know, ways that we can fulfill those needs with our regional specialists. And we will be having an election coming up in January, and so all of our nominations for people that would like to run need to be in our office by our first meeting in December, which I believe is December 3rd. they can get forms online or from our office, people that want to run on our election or on our county council for our county council, and we will have that election in January. But the nominations need to be in our office by December 3rd. Thank you. Forgot about that.
Crystal, do you have enough of these handouts that you might share it with media? There's just
yes.
an awful lot in here.
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
Here, I've got an extra two because I've got this from attending the meeting.
I have three.
The other nine, so.
Okay.
I mean, they may look through this and have some questions
right.
about a program or.
And that's all I got. But thank you for letting me come and tell you what we've been doing.
Thank you very much for the update.
Thank you.
Sewer hookups, connections. I asked for this to be on the agenda for some time, off and on, when discussions of sewer comes up and or sewer district policy comes up. Each of us have offered different comments. Well, we've discussed this at the last sewer district meeting about whether or not the sewer district should charge an individual property owner for the hookup. And originally, when the sewer district was created and when the county commission worked towards and got the passage of a sales tax to help fund sewer projects and to keep our lakes and streams clean in Taney County, part of what was said at that time is that hooking up to a sewer wouldn't be any cost. Well, obviously, if you charge $1,500 for a sewer hookup, that's a cost. And if you charge additional charges for additional services, those are costs as well. Now, the sewer district has made strides in that they are trying to at least run, I think, the lines now to within 5 feet of a property owner's residence. But our discussion centered on these differences. Should we look at industry separately from residences? Should there be a hookup charge, or should that hookup charge, in fact, be part of the capital improvement when the capital improvement is built? And it was a good discussion, but the end result was that I was asked to bring it to the county commission for some input from the commission, and then take it back to the sewer district so that they could make a decision from, or based upon, at least in part, what the county commission feels about it. Now, they know what I feel about it personally. I don't feel that there should be a charge. I feel that if you're a young person and you're building a house or you've purchased a house, you've got enough costs to worry about getting into that home without having to pay additional hookup fees and additional charges from other utilities, which we don't have any control over. But I need to know what you gentlemen think about that. At least I'll carry that back then to the sewer district board.
In a roundtable discussion that we had with the sewer board, I'm pretty sure they know how I feel, but I will repeat it here in the open meeting. I've never been for the hookup charges. I have expressed that to the sewer board on several occasions that if a person has a piece of property out here and the sewer comes through their property and they might not be ready to hook up at that particular point or might not even have built on the property yet, that they give an easement for the sewer to go across their property, to know that it's going to be a $1,500 charge someday for them to hook up, it puts a strain upon the relationship between the sewer board and the individual's residence at that point. And there's nothing necessary. I think it should be pro-citizen on this matter, and there shouldn't be any hookup fees. I think that the other things that are government-related as far as utilities, the water companies, and all that should look at their hookup fee charges and realize that there is a monthly fee that people pay for...
ever.
Forever with the water and the sewer and everything, and that the tax is a different different thing than running a utility company, a profitable utility company. So I discussed this with every sewer board member that's there, and you can take back my strong message that I don't think there should be any hookup fees. I did know that a couple of the members in our roundtable discussion said that there wasn't that much of a charge at the time. If the sewer goes through an area while they're doing the project, they don't charge a hookup fee. But if you own a lot or two or three or it changes hands or something and you're wanting to build at a later date, whether it be a financial issue or whether it be just the fact that you have a piece of ground that you're wanting to look to in the future to build on, then I don't think that you should be charged a hookup fee. And I think the citizens of Taney County will respect that.
The question was raised at the meeting last week. If you have a lot and sewer comes through and you say, no, I don't want it, question is, should they pay later?
That shouldn't be a question. The thing of it is, Ron, is...
No charges. I'm just...
If I've got a lot out here, I may sell it to somebody before that.
Sure.
So that person there is obligated to... if that other person said no, then they're obligated to pay. I just don't think that's the way we should operate this. Those people pay a tax every time they lay a dollar down in a convenience store or any place else, and part of that tax goes to clean water and the sewer system that Taney County has for building and keeping our waters clean. So those are the things that, that's the way I look at it. I mean,
I'm trying to be non-political, so I'm fine with it.
I guess taking that a step further, I don't see any problem with utilizing the sales tax when we're building the system in the first place to consider this part of the system.
Repeat that again, what you say?
It's going to cost to go from point A to point B.
Uh-huh.
We use sales tax to pay for that. I believe it's part of the overall system.
Yes.
It's just a continuation.
Right.
And that was what I... indicated last week, and that's the way I feel today. And quite frankly, a number of the sewer board members feel that same way. They want to know what the commission...
And I think they feel the same way. We have had different policies on different projects. Since I've been in office, they've been the renewal of the project that was done on, out of the dam. I can't think of it, the name of the project now, but there was a certain distance from the line that they would go, and then the other one was a 5-foot deal. So the policy change is not something that'll be discussed. Where my concern is, they'll have to put a certain date that this will go into effect. They can't move any of this stuff back, but they'll have to set a certain date, whether it be the middle of next year, the first of next project, or whatever. But the first of the year, that's one of my main concerns, is setting that date to where they would eliminate the fees. I don't sit on the board. Those are just one of the things that I think would be a...
We can alleviate that, can't we? Well, you're just not weighing in, are you?
But
thank you. I will carry your comments back to our next meeting, and that's when we'll chat about it again. I know there was an article done also about the pump outs. We're going to have to talk about that sometime too.
The septic system. Every year we've appropriated some money, or the sewer district has. It's come through the county commission. As a matter of fact, the extension office took care of it for us 1 year. I think that that's something that we could use our environmental department to help with.
Well, I really think that the roundtable discussion we're having between county commissions and the sewer district board are paying huge dividends, and that's one of the issues that I would like us to bring up as well. I think we should enlarge that, and I think that we should possibly at least consider paying more of the cost of having it done, and because it does nothing but help our environment.
You know, just to further that conversation, Ron, in our investigation as far as talking to different people, I think that septic tanks should, the way I understand it, should be pumped every 3 to 7 years or something like that. So we could be a great help to the citizens of the county if we pump so many tanks 1 year and then they can't be pumped again for 3 to 5 years or 7 years or whatever the number is determined. And that way we don't end up with a septic system that's run out on the ground going into our groundwater and our lakes and stuff.
And we have that right now. Some people won't clean them out because they can't afford it.
Right.
More discussion? Remonumentation program. I have a letter from the Department of Agriculture, State of Missouri. And once again, they're offering the cost-sharing effort for perpetuating corners of the United States Public Land Survey System. It's known as the County Surveyor Cooperative Remonumentation Program. And these corners were originally set back in the early 1800s, and what they're trying to do is to locate, describe, and reset many of those corners. And the state, through the Department of Agriculture, is offering $250 towards the cost of resetting each one of those corners. Normally, they work with a county surveyor. We don't have a county surveyor, but if we're interested in this, I would like to be able to pursue it and chat with the Department of Agriculture and a couple of surveyors. We probably have to go to bid on that to see who would be interested in it. Once we know what our cost is going to be totally, then we can make the decision on it. But I think we really ought to take advantage of that. Typically, years ago, we used to do 10 corners a year. I mean, if we could do more, that would be great. If we could do any at all through this program, I think it would be good. But we need to know what the overall cost is.
Right. A few years ago, and I've asked the clerk to come up with some information about how many we did. There was a significant cost to 1 year that proposed, so I'm ready to look into that and see where we can go, and as many as we can do, all the better.
Well, they used to limit us on the number. Let me find out what the number is that they would approve if we were able to do it, and then bring that info back ASAP. And is that all right?
Saying that it looks like they'll pay up to $250 for up to 15 monuments?
No. It says department contracts the county for the remonumentation of a specified number of corners. So that's all they said, but it does say 15.
Well, according to Phelps County Surveyor. So some official minutes, whatever there.
CenturyLink agreements. Mr. Riss, could you join us?
Yep.
Mr. Riss, if I hand you this information, can you better explain to us exactly what it refers to? And there are two. The council's opinions on top. Okay.
Want to just go through his comments real quick?
Yes, I want to turn it over to you, and you
okay.
Take it from there.
Okay, so there are... We put three types of telephone services out to bid. CenturyLink basically had the best pricing and offers all of those services at a decent rate. So we moved forward to, you know, pick them as our provider. They, during the bid process, they send in their contracts and agreements. Frank looked those all over. And then actually a fourth agreement kind of came in the interim too, which is the renewal of the maintenance and support of our existing phone system itself. It's not for the phone lines that we have coming in, but just for a warranty extension of our existing phone system. So Frank's looked over all four of the agreements pretty much, one for phone lines, one for our internet connection, and one for our connection to the Branson Underground where we ship off all of our backups for offsite and stuff like that. For the most part, all three. The phone company, in my opinion, seems to use kind of the same boilerplate agreement for most of the things that they sell anyways. So when Frank looked them over, I know it was kind of overwhelming because their agreements, we'll talk about, they try to factor in a lot of different products all into one agreement, and then you have to kind of relate what you're buying with parts of their contract, and I know that kind of made, that's kind of overwhelming for anybody, because you can sit there and cross stuff out.
Rankled him.
Is oh, yeah.
A good word? Part of the word here is they have a failure to state in plain language.
Yeah. They've kind of buried that whole agreement with probably 10 different products worth of, you know, details, and it's kind of hard if he doesn't have any kind of, it wouldn't surprise me if Frank really isn't that familiar with what these contracts are really for, what, you know, we're really purchasing. I went over it with him, but I could tell he doesn't deal with telecom stuff very often, so it's very understandable. One of the issues that he did have is that the agreement itself referred to terms and conditions that were on a website. And I completely agreed with him, too, because we have no idea if that website's ever going to change. Does that mean that the terms and conditions would change on the fly? We wouldn't even be aware of it. And so I spoke to our CenturyLink rep on one of the three – well, actually, one of the three contracts, they sent us a revised version that had the terms and conditions printed off of the website, and then I guess they added like an addendum to it saying that the terms and conditions attached in here supersede the one referred to on the website. So they got around that. The other two agreements actually refer to the terms and conditions on the website, but then their agreements actually had all of the terms and conditions built into it already as far as, you know, the length of the term, the rate, you know, if we were to terminate the agreement sooner than fulfilling out the whole term, you know, here's our penalty or prices for that. He did bring up I guess I'm up for your guys' opinion on this. I kind of just read this over earlier here. Agreement provides for termination in the event of non-appropriation, which appears to refer to the situation where the county cannot budget to pay. It looks like they were referring that they still want us to pay a 50% of the term of that contract. I don't know if that raises any red flags with you guys or not. Other contracts I've seen in government is if the budget isn't appropriated for it, that's an out for us. I don't know if we were to put that back on them, if that would affect our rate, though, because I think it kind of, these are all three-year agreements, so they give us a little bit more of a price savings on a three-year term, where maybe if they bump it down to a one-year term, it would raise the price on it, but that's all negotiable.
The bid that was put out, and now we're down to the contract phase, but the bid that was put out, did it protect us from any of the things you're talking about as far as the 50%?
We kind of leave it up to them to bid it out at a 1 year, 3 year terms. It doesn't really, I don't think our bid, I'm not really sure about that.
The savings that we got, I want to make sure that it's protected
right
under the bid process that we received out of this, but I want to make sure that the contract and the bid are, I guess, and that would be probably what Frank is talking about, are talking the same language.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that they match.
Yeah, and so did we made a motion to approve one of these.
Yeah, it was the one for the phone lines.
Okay.
Right.
The other two, which, as I read the email that you had sent, I think you had recommended your recommendation on the mm-hmm. other two.
Yes.
Now there has been a fourth that has...
A fourth one is like a... came in via email. It's just a renewal of the warranty of our phone system, so...
Okay, and it wasn't in the bid?
No, it's a totally separate, really. Okay. It's a separate issue.
Can we make a motion to accept your recommendation on the other two in the process?
I have a question for you. We're also scheduled to go into executive session to talk about these agreements. Are there some things that we're going to share that we need to be an exec? Or?
I'm more wanting to talk about the fourth agreement. The one that came in via email.
Let's hold it out then. We won't be discussing that until exec.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What we have in front of us then are two agreements. This is where Danny's headed, I think. And they're listed by contract number. Frank has visited them. He's raised questions. There have been some changes. And your recommendation is?
Move forward. It's definitely needed services that we've been limping by without for now.
Now, this has been a lengthy process. What I want to know is there have been changes, as he stated here. Have there been changes since you sent me the email on the recommendation? Because I'm ready to move forward with it because of what I read through
The changes that I saw more than anything were just bringing the stuff that was on their website and bringing it into writing into the agreement itself so that you had something tangible to sign off on.
Is there a number there, Ron, that I can make a motion with on these two contracts? Are they numbered?
No, but my question about them is I believe they're identical. That's what I need you to look at.
They are. They nearly are, except that the pricing's different for different services. But the contracts themselves are...
Because the contract number for both is the same.
Well, there should be... There's one that ends in...
Both mine end in 745.
Yeah, there should be one other one here. Trying to see where they have them numbered on the contract, where that came from. Should look at this one. Oh, okay. Well, 745 is the one that you guys already decided to move forward with, but that was the one. 745 was the only one that actually had the terms and conditions that were on the website. Okay, and after I spoke with them, they should have given you guys an updated version of the terms and conditions right in the agreement itself, rather than referring to the website.
Yeah, but there's two numbers.
There's still two more
numbers on the what you sent through the email.
Right. Yeah, there should be two more here. These two ones. But the terms and conditions and everything were already in the paperwork on all of this. They actually did use. They use the same contract for these two, and they use a different contract for the phone lines themselves. But it doesn't look like Frank's notes actually have these contract numbers on his overview letter that he wrote you guys.
The
that was one of the questions that he had, was because they were just alike. And then there was the reason he asked the question. But there's should be two sets of numbers. There were at one time, but I don't see it on this.
He does.
I don't have the email.
He does refer to an agreement for services, which is the 745, and then an agreement for equipment.
That's the fourth.
That's the fourth.
The fourth one.
So I only have
2 of 4.
I have the contract number ending in 745, and I have two copies of that, and that's all that I have in front of me.
Yeah. So do we need to get him to write something up for these other two for you guys to proceed then, right?
We'll have to before we...
Yep.
Just ask that we get the two numbers for the contracts. I'm ready for approval of those. And then the other one will be discussed later. But
can we establish both of these for Thursday morning, have you work with Frank to make sure the proper paperwork's in front of us?
Sure.
And then we could move forward at that time? So what we will do is just reschedule this for Thursday morning, and I would like you to work with Shanna upstairs for the time on Thursday morning and work with Frank, if you will. And and then for the last, where did I go? You wanted to chat about that in executive session, correct?
Yes.
And gentlemen, that number for executive session per contracts is 610-021.12.
Do you want to go into that now and have a 5-minute recess, or you want to come back and go into I'll make a motion to go into executive session 610.021 subsection 12.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to go into executive session pursuant to section 610.021.12. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Danny aye.
Brandon aye.
Ron aye. All opposed nay. We'll stand in recess for just a few minutes before we bring this up with Mark. Is that what you asked for?
Yep.